Good morning, and welcome to our special Easter morning service. The Lord is risen indeed. Pastor Paul Mell has chosen for a sermon topic, "They Remembered His Words," based on Luke chapter 24, verse 8. Mr. Ron Baker is at the organ this morning, and your announcer is Ron Meyer.
Good morning and welcome to our Easter worship services this morning. Special welcome to guests and visitors. We hope you are made to feel a welcome at home here today. We will be following the order of service as it is printed, and we will begin with our Easter acclamation. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
We continue with our hymn of invocation, hymn 483. Please rise as we make our beginning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, I announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The Lord is my strength and my song. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You will bring them in and plant them on your mountain. The sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. Be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, the Father, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you have overcome death and opened the gate of everlasting life to us. Grant that we, who celebrate with joy the day of our Lord's resurrection, may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for the resurrection of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 65. Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall be the days of my people, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord, and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel in the Alleluia verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things, visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated as we sing the hymn of the day, hymn 457. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The words which we'll think about today are from our gospel lesson in Luke chapter 24. Then they remembered his words. I once knew a guy who could remember your name and your birthday, even if he'd met you just once, and it would be 5 or 10 years later, he had that good of a memory. He could tell you the day you were born if he knew it. And I always kind of envy that sort of memory. Wish I had that. I have the opposite, and you can ask my wife. Write this down on a piece of paper. It's the list for groceries or whatever, and I'll forget where I put that piece of paper. So it goes. Think of the problems people have to deal with when they forget something. Sometimes it's pretty important, like in an emergency, you got to know how to stop a car on ice. Or maybe you got to think fast when someone's choking. At the bedside of my dying mother, she told me that she wished she knew more about how to die. There was nothing to remember about how to die because no one has done it. We've been at the bedsides of people who have died. We have prayed, we have mourned, but we have not died ourselves, so that's kind of hard to thing to remember. So it should not surprise us to discover that the followers of Jesus, who loved him the most above all else, figured that when Jesus died, he would be, dead. But was there more? That's not what he had said, though. They forgot what he had said. As we once again read our gospel lesson today, we hear the glorious account of the first Easter. God sends some holy angels, and they're in glorious array to tell the women at the tomb, first of all, who had come to embalm Jesus. They get to speak first. They say, "Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? He is not here. He has risen." And then they said, "Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then it says an interesting thing. Oh yeah, then they remembered. What a thing to forget. But it's not like he just told them once. In fact, the whole Old Testament points to this particular day. From the very birth of Jesus by the Virgin Mary to the betrayal by a disciple with 30 pieces of silver, the Old Testament has prophesied over 40 specific events and characteristics in the life of Jesus, not to mention the hundreds of references and examples which all allude to the Messiah coming. All of Scripture, in fact, points to this particular day and that particular moment in one way or another. Whether it was at the fall of Adam and Eve and the promises given to them at that particular time, to King David, or the Babylonian captivity, or the sacrifice of Isaac, all kinds of things really point to that particular day. And then for all of us, the New Testament harkens back to this particular day and this particular event. St. Paul writes, "If Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You're yet in your sins." And the whole point is worthless. And so today, while the first requirement to be a Christian is to have faith in the Word of God, which tells us that there's more to life than what we can see and what meets the eye, the second part is to remember it, especially when our life depends on it. And it's not like God didn't supply us with a lot of physical proof, which was evident at that time even. 10 times, it says, Jesus showed himself to his disciples. We don't know all those 10 times, but that's what it says. And one of those times was 500 people at the same time. Now, does God have to supply those kind of proofs to every generation of people so that we can remember that there is a resurrection, that there's life after death? That our sins are forgiven? No, we are to take his word for it. This was not a thing made up by a bunch of lowly fishermen and such. In fact, the accounts of Easter show us that the disciples were probably the most skeptical of a risen Lord. The women run back and tell the disciples, and the guys didn't believe it. Peter and John run to the tomb, and we read that still Peter wondered to himself about what had just happened. These were not gullible people. They had to even later touch his hand and his side. They had to remember the words that he had spoken before the resurrection. Had he not told them I will destroy this temple and in 3 days raise it up. And another time, just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, so also must the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth for 3 days. And finally, he spoke very plainly about his suffering at the hands of the religious leaders, his crucifixion, and after 3 days, his resurrection. Could the cowards who had denied their Lord and fled on the evening of Maundy Thursday become so bold as to risk death, even martyrdom at Pentecost, just a short time later, without some life-changing event that made them so bold? But perhaps the most interesting behavior is that of the Pharisees. Of all the people involved in the passion and death of Jesus, they remembered. They remembered so much that they went to Pilate to demand a seal be placed on the tomb and an armed guard. In doing so, they made the most unlikely witnesses as they provided compelling evidence that Jesus really did rise from the dead. As an aside, the words of Pontius Pilate told the Pharisees, "Take a guard and make the tomb as secure as you know how." It was, as it was, no guard, no army, or even men or angels could have kept Christ's tomb from opening that day, or Jesus from rising back to life. We read that an angel rolled back the stone, and then he sat on it. I love that. Angels have all kinds of fun jobs. And he must have just looked over at those guards who were now absolutely petrified and laying down dead like they were, nothing they could do about it. And they just sat there and watched them. I don't know if he said anything to them, had a conversation. How's it going, guys? But imagine that there were actually two people at least who saw that happen, because the Pharisees made it happen. Good on them. And so here on this early morning, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and it says the others with them, don't know how many there were, there is no stone, no guard, no seal. Inside the tomb are two angels who appear again in dazzling apparel. The women are also terrified, but instead of running, they bow their faces to the ground. The angel says, "Why do you seek the living amongst the dead?" And in this angelic message, we see a little bit of a warning. The angels say, "You should have believed the promises of Jesus." Later on, when the women tell the disciples, they still don't grasp it. And on the road to Emmaus later on, Jesus, sort of in some disguise, don't know how that happened, "Oh, foolish men and slow to heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken." And it's interesting, on the road to Emmaus, Jesus would like them to have believed in the resurrection without him having to show himself later on to them, but simply believing the word that he had spoken, or that the prophets had even spoken. But, of course, that's not how it worked out. Jesus would have them come to faith eventually. For it's one thing to see Jesus rise from the dead, but they and we would also have to believe that same word and promises without all this physical proof that they had back in that day. In John 6, he writes, "Everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." See, this is kind of important stuff. Right now, there are about 3 billion plus people on this planet. Every 50 to 60 or 70 years, the entire generation of that many human beings die, passes away into eternity one way or another. What becomes of those who are drowned at sea, those who have been blown to bits in a war, or are simply buried along the other billions of graves all over the world? The atheist says this is the end. The agnostic says, "We don't know, and no one can know." Shirley MacLaine will say that we are reincarnated into something other. But God's word says that Christ shall change our vile bodies so that they will be fashioned like his glorious body, gloriously restored into perfection. And there it is again, God's promise. Do we remember it? Do we believe it? That Christ is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. What a thing to forget. But we do. Whenever we get caught up in the trouble and tragedy of life, we forget. God's got it all taken care of. Like the mourners who came to Jesus' grave with the thoughts of embalming a dead friend, we can find plenty of things in this life to make us forget the Easter message as well. When we think of these first visitors to the Easter tomb, we see an awful lot of sorrow and confusion and fear, all based on their failure to believe the promises of Jesus. Their wasted grief was due to the fact that they doubted, or worse than that, refused to believe the Word of God. And so they thought Jesus was destroyed, when in fact he was already out and about. What a lot of grief comes to our lives because of our unbelief and doubts. For he has risen just as he said. Your sins are forgiven just as he said. This means the crud of your life will be replaced, and perfection replaced with that crud just as he said. Basically, our response to Easter then pretty much gives away as to what we think of Christ's promises. As soon as the women were convinced of the truth of the angel's message, it says they left quickly with fear and great joy. That's an odd combination you don't see every day. Fear and joy. Fear at the greatness of the miracle. The realization that perhaps Jesus really was who he was. That would strike a little bit of fear. And this is God himself. But also joy, because he was still Jesus, the one who loved them, was still alive. So the women run. They ran to tell their friends the news. People who heard the women thought they were nuts, of course. The women had to run and tell them anyway. All the lights went on, you see, as they remembered Jesus' words. When my brother was in Russia for a few years, learning the language and so forth, after about 5 or 6 years, he was able to come back to the States to have a furlough, and it lasted about 6 months. For months and months, he didn't have to speak any Russian, which he was grateful for. But when he went back to Moscow, he found that he was able to speak and to say things in Russian that he never imagined possible 6 months earlier. He was told that this is a typical phenomenon, that your brain actually needs time off so that what you learn catches up with what you put into practice. I think of that when we come here every week to celebrate the day of the resurrection every Sunday. We teach about it, we talk about it with our children and how this good news applies to our lives. We talk about it, we hear those words, and sometimes it seems like we don't quite remember what was said. But then later on, when push comes to shove, the light bulb does come on. And you've got to wonder what heaven will be like, and how God will know us perfectly and we'll know him perfectly. Things that we can't imagine right now, but the light bulb will come on then too. The Gospel of Mark records one other thing that the angels told the women. Not only was Jesus alive, but that they would see him in Galilee. It's worth noting that that was actually that very same day that Jesus appeared to them in Galilee. It's worth noting that he always gives us more than he even promises. We have a similar but far more glorious promise. We shall see him face to face as he is, not mano a mano, but God. We're going to see God face to face. Job writes, "My eyes shall behold him and not another." There are a billion things that we're going to forget as time marches on. But there's one thing I hope we never forget. Let us remember his words as we look forward to his next glorious appearing. For he is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto that life everlasting. Amen. This time we will gather our tithes and offerings, and I believe the bells have something to say.
Thank you.
pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Holy Lord, Almighty God, you have borne the sin of the world and given to us the promise of a new and everlasting life. Receive our thanks for the glorious resurrection of Jesus the Christ. Bring us with him to our joyful resurrection and the reunion of all your saints. Lord, in your mercy. Give peace, Lord, to our homes and enliven them by Christ's resurrected life. Let the forgiveness of sins reign among husbands and wives, parents and children. Assure those who live alone that they too are your children, upheld by your right hand. Lord, in your mercy. Bless our president and all who make and administer our laws. Frustrate the forces of evil. Guard our armed forces as they stand watch for us at home and abroad. Especially do we think of McKenna Eckhoff and Drake Bataille. Let them serve with honor and integrity. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, your healing and strength are the hope of all the weary and afflicted. According to your gracious will, give to all the sick and those who suffer healing and relief. Especially do we think today of Carol Brandt and Randy Brandt, Stan Bradyheff, Nolan Kirby, Carolyn Lubert, Stevie Noland, Mary Opfer, and Lindsay Shockley. Grant them patience and hope until that day when they put on new and glorious bodies raised by Christ and receive the end of all afflictions. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, you have not let your Holy One see corruption, but have raised him in triumph from the dead, never to die again. Therefore our hearts are glad, and we rejoice, for our flesh also dwells secure. Since you have set him at your right hand, lead us to set his resurrection before us at all times, that his path of life and the fullness of joy in his presence may be known to us until we come also to the eternal pleasures at his right hand forevermore. For you, O Father, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, are one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying he has destroyed death, and by his rising again he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. In heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took a cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
rise as we continue with our post-communion canticle. Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord, be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You may be seated, and there's a few notes on this hymn that I chose that I like, and I was told nobody else knows it. But we're going to sing it anyway. And there's just follow the numbers of the verses, and he's going to play through it once, and this is Easter, not Ascension or Pentecost or anything else. So just do the Easter sections. We can do this.